When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We come to this place for magic.
I don't have time to have a bad time. It ain't on my schedule.
To laugh.
And it is a reminder, I've been here when it was glory hole days, and I've been here when it wasn't. And so having said that, I want me some glory hole.
To cry.
I thought we had a team put together last year that was healthy enough when we got to the playoffs. But I knew we had a couple of our best shots out there financially.
Because we need that, all of us. That indescribable feeling we get when the lights begin to dim. And we go somewhere we've never been before.
We're almost 2.5 college seasons away from being in the playoffs.
Not just entertained, but somehow reborn.
Well, if I knew for sure that the hump would stay still and not move around on me, and that one would get me over that hump. But the problem is, that hump's moving on you too.
Together. Sound that I can feel.
I fucked it up.
Somehow, heartbreak feels good in a place like this.
I think we have successfully put together a staff that gives us absolutely the best chance with our makeup and our team to get to the ultimate success.
Our heroes feel like the best part of us.
I appreciate your tenderness.
Because here, they are.
I'm not so sure that's a joke. That's the way it is.
Only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys indeed?
It's a tradition unlike any other in Cowboys Nation. The Jerry State of the Team press conference. We're back for another season on About Them Cowboys. We've got Father John out in Oxnard. We've got somebody new, full-time on the Cowboys beat. Finally, Saad Youssef. Congratulations, Saad, and welcome.
Thank you. Really excited. Right on time for Oxnard, so it's perfect timing.
And we're pleased, as always, to have in the fold with us, Kevin KT Turner from The Freak. Make sure you're listening every single morning on the radio. What's up, KT?
Not much. I'm pretty excited that football is actually here because this has been a quiet offseason, and now we got John and Saad both to chop it up with, which we chopped it up with Saad no matter what, but it's official, Saad, so that's cool.
Thank you.
And then I just pumped. It's go time. Yeah. And I saw Barbie and liked it. More on that later.
Okay.
Spoiler alert, I did too.
It's
fantastic.
Did who on our show...
Wait, did you go in pink?
I don't have much pink to go in, but KT does. I know
I had a shirt with like some flamingos on it, so I did wear that, yeah.
Nice. You got your Kennergy on?
Yep. I'm Knuff.
John's face right now, if y'all could see.
It's fine.
I'm a little younger than you guys, but I don't know if you guys had this phase, the whole tough guys wear pink in school, like when you guys were in school.
We definitely never had
that. Oh, yeah. Abercrombie pink polo was a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Like, yeah, but if you Google tough guys wear pink, like there's a whole thing about that.
Yeah, Kent was in a pop punk band, so I don't know if the rules are like the same.
Yeah, any color went for a period of my life. That's for sure. Anything goes. Speaking of anything goes, Jerry took the mic today, KT. They also signed a player right after.
Quietest offseason in some time, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, we have press conference. And then, oh, Trevon Diggs has got a contract. John, how shocked were you to see that?
I mean, so I wasn't shocked just because when you leave minicamp like over a month ago and it ends with Steven and Jerry talking about how they want to get some of these contracts done. And Steven's not just saying like being generic about it. He's specifically mentioning Trayvon Diggs, CeeDee Lamb, Terrence Steele, Dak Prescott. So there's not a lot of gray area from that perspective. Then this is a team that doesn't spend significantly in free agency. It's all about being able to re-sign your own. So everything lines up that, well, okay, so when are these going to get done? But if I'm being completely honest, I was just happy it happened because I thought the press conference today, 33 minutes, was the most boring one I've attended. There wasn't a lot of juicy
hot
stuff
topics.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to just kind of set the scene a little bit, you know, before Jerry, Steven, and Mike got to the stage, you know, it was pretty evident that, you know, NFL Films is filming this documentary with Jerry. And so, I mean, the camera crew wise was pretty similar to the way, like if you were filming a Hard Knocks, you know, and you can just tell by the cameras that are there and the other people that are there to different, you know, boom mics, stuff like that. You're just like, oh, okay. So these guys have been following Jerry around. So I'm thinking, hey, this might be a little gasoline on the fire for him to do some crazy stuff, say something wild, you know, something like that. And I thought Jerry was pretty reserved today. And so, you know, like I said, 33 minutes and then on the podium, and then we got Jerry for another 8 or 9 minutes off to the side. And as I'm walking away from that, I'm like, well, I'll write about Zach Martin. That's obviously the big story in that. And I'll put some stuff together, do some transcribing, and that's what I'll write on. Not super pumped about it, but that, you know, I'm writing off the first day of camp. And then that Trayvon Diggs news happens. I'm like, this is perfect. I would much rather write about this. This also gets a contract out of the way. And then I just wanted to throw this one out there too, is that maybe it's like 2019 where it was a 16-day period where, you know, Jalen Smith got done, Lael Collins got done, and Zeke got done. Now, that was at the end of August, early September. Mm. Now, I know when people hear that, they'll be like, yeah, all three of those, that worked out great. But I guess I was going to ask you guys, what did you think of the deal? Because I'm on board with it because I'm very pro the Trayvon Diggs type corner over the Byron Jones corner, where, you know, the one guy is you feel more comfortable with in coverage, but the other guy will just take the ball away. And to me, the value of that in the NFL, I have no issues with this deal. I'm completely on board. I think it makes sense to get it done now. I also don't think Trayvon Diggs has reached like his peak yet, coming from being a guy that was converted wide receiver to corner in college. He's only played 3 years in the NFL. So I was completely on board. But what did you guys think? Work in your thoughts on how that compares with J.R. Alexander, because that's kind of the
So my thoughts on this are, A, good to get it done now because things keep rising, and it does feel like the rare case of the Cowboys not letting something get to the deadline. And then when I kind of look at a couple of things, there's been a lot of discussion about Dak and his interceptions, and this is probably a bad way to look at it. I don't want Dak being a 4-interception guy, a 5-interception guy. If that happens miraculously, great. But like all the good quarterbacks in the league threw double-digit interceptions. Now, he did lead the league in interceptions, and I'm not denying that. It makes that a little bit more excusable when you do have a guy who can get the ball back for you a little bit too, though. And over the course of a year, you know, that can sometimes maybe get back to even and where it's not that big of a concern. Because the last thing I want is Dak not being aggressive. I don't want Dak feeling like, because he's worried about interceptions, to, you know, be check down Charlie and start not taking those shots that he's made. I think you have to do that in this league. So it's a weird way to get to Trayvon Diggs, I know, but it's just something I thought about today. When you look at that, he got the same contract as Marshon Lattimore pretty much. And I think that's about right. I think that's probably about where you would go when you have a guy. You know, his contract's not that different than Jalen Ramsey's. And we talk about Jalen Ramsey as the best cornerback in the league sometimes, and that's changed a little bit over the years. So I think it's fair value, and I think it like could have gotten higher based on when some of these guys are going to hit free agency, you know, over the next few years. Like, you know, Witherspoon with Seattle is going to hit it. And like, you know, you have some of these guys who are going to be you have some of these guys who are going to be unrestricted free agents next year, who could take, you know, that number up quite a bit. And that's where I think, like, it was almost surprised when this happened, because the Cowboys are the Cowboys and deadlines make deals. So,
and I was, there was a part of me that was sitting there thinking, you know, because I get in, I get down to Oxnard yesterday, and I'm at the hotel when the buses arrive, and the buses arriving was very similar to the press conference, and that very boring. Like, I mean, no Dak, no Micah, no DeMarcus Lawrence, no Trayvon Diggs, no Zach Martin. I'm trying to think who else. No Tony Pollard. Like, it just, when you're looking for, like, to take photos and things like that, there's nobody that really, none of the star players are there. And now, hey, maybe this is a good thing. Maybe it's the Cowboys are kind of being boring and quiet and just going about their business. And maybe that's not like their typical way they go about business. So maybe this is a good thing. But there was a part of me when I, you know, you don't see some of those guys, even though some of them are already here. In the back of your mind, you're just kind of like, well, if Zach Martin's not going to practice this week, who's to say Trayvon Diggs doesn't? So you get this deal done and you remove that. That's not even on the table, you know, that Trayvon Diggs is going to be here. You don't have to worry about that one.
Yeah, and also I think with the other thing with Trayvon is we talked about this throughout his kind of, you know, rise through the NFL, which has only been, what, 3 years or so. But the Cowboys haven't had this kind of playmaker in a long time. And I think, you know, when you look at what your team needs a little bit of everything. Now, when Trayvon Diggs was just like he was the guy and there was no other corner, I think he's going to benefit greatly from Stephon Gilmore, because now he's going to be able to play in his element even more. The pressure's not on him to be the one and only number one corner. So I think when you look at all that, a lot of times, you know, we've seen the Cowboys do this, to go back to KT, kind of like bringing it back to Dak. We see the Cowboys oftentimes do this where when they pay a guy, they say, okay, well, now we're going to take everything else away that kind of made you or puts you in that position to succeed. Usually that happens with the quarterback. So we paid you. We're not going to pay any of the receivers. We're not going to pay anybody else. Now you go do it. I'm glad they're not doing that with Diggs, where, you know, they brought in help, they brought in reinforcements and got Stephon Gilmore, and are also going to pay Trayvon Diggs and going to let him do his thing as well. So I think, you know, it's one of those, Trayvon Diggs is a good player, but I feel like the sum of the parts is going to be even greater this year.
And it's go time, right? I mean, let's get real. You're not going to, like, you didn't have to get this done, but this is it. And next year it'll be time to get Micah done. And there are just a lot of things that are going to happen. And Micah is going to cost, I mean, it's out of this world that Micah cost you 35. I mean, like, Micah's number is going to be high. So if you're saving even a little bit here down from not doing this next year, and I don't know how high it would go. I mean, he's not even getting more than, you know, from a per year. I mean, that's a big signing bonus they put on that at $21 million. He's not getting more than Jair Alexander, who, you know, re-signed recently. And I think a little comparable. I think some of the same things you could say about Alexander, you could say about Diggs in a way. Alexander might be a little more willing to go in there and try to throw his shoulder around and make a tackle and things like that. But he's missed, you know, 12 games in a year or 13 games in a year because of injury and things like that. But interception guy, ball skills guy, kind of, I think he's at 21 per year. So, I mean, you're not even like topping the market even. So I think like it's a good deal just because you're not having to worry about it anymore too. And you had room to do it. So,
yeah, I know that there's people out there that, I mean, what's fresh in your mind? Dak Prescott not playing well against San Francisco. Trayvon Diggs did not play well against San Francisco. He had a chance to get an interception late, drops that. Obviously, you know, doesn't make the hit down the middle of the field when Neville Gallimore was kind of playing DB. So, I mean, hey, there's things in his game for sure. But you have to judge when you're doing these contracts on not – necessarily just what's happened. It's about where that player is going to be. And like I wrote for tomorrow, I included, you know, obviously some stuff about Diggs in my story off the press conference. And I included some stuff from Al Harris, their DB coach from last year, when we got to talk to him last November, and just talking about how, you know, that it's not like he's this finished product. There's still things that he can work on and he can get even better. Because in last November, you know, he didn't have the big interception number. So people are like, oh, he doesn't have another double-digit interception season or whatever. And like Al Harris was saying, he goes, I think he's playing even better this year than he did the year before because of other things that he's improved in. But yeah, like you said, the tackling obviously isn't a strength. There's issues with his, he's not a perfect corner. There's no question about that. But the value he has in taking the ball away and how big that's been for this Cowboys team, taking the ball away the last 2 years. And then the fact that you want to pair Micah Parsons with somebody on the back end that, you know, can help, you know, take advantage of some good situations with a good pass rush, whether it be Micah going forward, Mozzie, you know, if Dorrance Armstrong's still here, Sam Williams, they're obviously going to add more pass rush. You know, I just, for a team that, like I said, I like Byron Jones. I thought he was a good player. I never got the sense that they were going to pay him. Whereas the flip side is, I never really got the sense they were going to let Trayvon Diggs go, unless it was like one of these things where he just was going to hold out for it. He wanted to be the absolute highest paid or whatever. But it's just like the quarterback market. You know, Sauce Gardner is going to get a deal. Patrick Sertan is going to get a deal. And they're all going to be above this. And so that's just how it works.
It's the same thing. It's, I mean, it's different. But like Justin Herbert got a deal done this evening as we record here on Tuesday night, the 25th. And Herbert's deal is 5 years, 262. And obviously you can look at the guarantees and things like that. But like, here's the point. Like, quarterbacks are at 50 now. Okay.
Yep.
It's like they are going, we were fighting over 25 and 30 and 35 and 40 over the last 5 or 6 years. This is what happens.
When Daniel Jones is getting 40, you knew the top ones were going to 50.
I mean, honestly, like, this is just what it is everywhere. Micah is going to change everything about how this is done on defense. Nick Bosa is actually trying to do that now. You know, Nick Bosa holding out, he might get ahead of Micah on that. In terms of just changing, nope, I've set a new precedent for what it is. And yeah.
But if Micah has, okay, so let's say they get a deal done, the Niners do with Bosa, and then Micah has another year like he's been having, let's say he wins Defensive Player of the Year. Well, he's topping whatever Bosa got.
Oh, yeah. And it's just Nick's time first and then Micah.
Right.
I mean, TJ Watt's already
almost. If you're
almost
Micah, you're just rooting for Bosa to get a huge deal here.
Yeah. 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 Oh, my God. So, you know, and that's why you can't lock in, I don't know, Tony Pollard to a long-term deal. Interesting. As we go to the press conference cut, a lot of things, you know, that were popped up. I'm with you. One of the shortest press conference or state of the team addresses that we've had in many years.
And there was no Jerry opening statement. That was a key there, because sometimes his opening statement will eat up about 5-10 minutes right there. So when they just went right to questions, I was like, oh, that kind of takes a little bit away from this. But all right, here we go.
Maybe they're trying to get down to business this year. This is the chance. Yeah. It's Dak and Jalen Hurts are your NFC quarterbacks. Like, this is it.
Not a lot of questions about Dak. I don't think any. I mean, they referenced him, but there wasn't like direct questions about Dak's interceptions and what they're doing to address that and all that. I mean, it's been talked about all this offseason, but yeah, talking about today.
Yeah, it was asked to Jerry in the walk-off. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Those but are like McCarthy-Kellen type, you know, questions that were Dak questions, you know, because it's about that more than Dak. And I mean, that's fair. Although they did, you know, reference it when they were talking about the running backs, right? They talked about how, like, the things evolved and it's quarterback league and all that, which we know that. I did find it interesting, though, that Steven said that they, you know, offered Tony Pollard a long-term deal. And I was like, man, I wonder how that offer was, how much that was discussed in the running back Zoom call the other night. Like, well, you know, they all went either bitched.
It was probably either a low annual number or the guarantees were extremely low. So where they could have got out of it after like a year anyway, you know, and it probably just wasn't enough financial commitment for Tony Pollard and his agent to go, nah, that's cool. We'll go to free agency next year. We can do better than that, you know?
It's funny because like all 10 of those guys who are on that Zoom call were all, you know, they were all talking about how much they make and how much they're going to make, and they're all pulling out PDFs of their contract and just kind of showing
and
it.
And then
the
Saquon got $900,000 incentives.
I mean, amazing. Feel bad for him in a way, but also, like, it is not good business to pay running backs.
You guys want to get together on a call after this and talk about being underpaid? See if it does anything for us?
Yeah, it won't do a thing, and that's why everyone's striking right now.
No, but we'll tweet about it. We'll tweet about it. We'll say that we did a call together, and we'll tweet about it. You think that'll change it?
No.
It is what it is, you know.
Because I'm going to tell you what'll change it is that you got to have some backups go in there and be disasters. You can't have the back. You can't sit there and hold out at the running back spot and have your backup come in there and be like, "It's pretty solid." You can't have that. You have to significantly show the difference between you being out there and your backup, you know.
It is wild because it's like, so like, it's the rare thing like here in the NFL, like your boss technically, or you know, whatever, however you want to look at that, it's not your coach really. It's, you know, it's the owner, but the boss is the salary cap. Like that's the real boss. Now that doesn't mean the salary. Well, sometimes the salary cap does make decisions. Like my day job, my boss is the guy who created MTV. Okay, do you think he gives one flying S about what I make? Absolutely not. But if there was a salary cap, those decisions might be made. It's a little different. Like, it's almost like bitching about the systems in place.
Or you have to bring value to a certain level to where, like, you were like, hey, I got this thing. And we're going to say it was, I don't know, late 80s or whatever. And you're like, I got this thing. It's called Beavis and Butthead. And if you don't want to give me more money, I'm gonna sell it somewhere else. You know that you got some leverage there that changes things. You know,
like Travis
was that,
Kelce
was that early '90s or mid '90s?
Early '90s. Yeah.
Yeah, Mike Judge got screwed over by MTV though.
Yeah, he took some bad deals along the way. He took a couple bad deals along the way. Point is, Travis Kelce could say he's a wide receiver, right? Could he get paid like a top wide receiver, or was a label on that? It's not good when your highest paid running back is hurt all the time.
Who's the NFL?
Exactly what we're talking
about. No, I want to stick with the MTV thing. Who's the NFL's version of ridiculousness?
Okay. I don't even know what that is.
Come on. It's the only thing that's on MTV.
Of ridiculousness.
It's the only thing that's on MTV anymore. They just run it on a loop.
Well, that's what they do with The Office and Parks and Rec on Comedy Central.
The Office is legendary. Okay. I understand why they would run that on a loop.
What's the
This is Rob Dyrdek.
Okay, you know what? Ridiculousness.
Filling
that's,
in the Bob
that's defamatory to Chanel West Coast, John. Come on.
What's up?
Don't disparage Chanel West Coast like that.
I love Chanel West Coast, but I don't think that show is anywhere near on the level of putting in the breath of The Office.
Yeah, so Zeke absolutely is the not. Ridiculousness of
Yes, Ezekiel Elliott.
It can't be though, because ridiculousness is always on. It has to be somebody that is like a star player.
The lifeblood,
Miles Sanders,
of the team.
I'm telling you, man, that show is on all the time.
I know it is, and I don't understand it. They're just stealing America's Funniest Home Videos.
And that's exactly what he got. Yeah,
it's just weird.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Okay, let's start playing some cuts here.
Let's go.
Kent, let's start out with, I guess, Jerry talking about when they, you know, their decision to franchise Tony Pollard.
Yeah, good question by John here to set it up.
Well, actually, I think the franchise tag, when I think of it, probably fit that situation really well. So I think it does its job. When I look at the entire team and the makeup of what you have to do with the allocated dollars that you've got, it's a distribution process. If one player gets a dollar, the other one doesn't get it. And so you distribute it as best you can. And in this particular case, I think it worked well for Tony. That's a lot of money. And I think it's going to help make it work for us to put this team together this year.
When he says it's a lot of money, all I'm thinking is how, you know, the franchise tag number is 10. And what other franchise tag number would not even be, like, if you worked out a long-term deal, would the average not even be the franchise tag number? Because they were not, whatever that offer Steven's talking about was not $10 million a year.
No doubt.
It might have been like 7.
I almost wonder if the NFL will make a change because of all this griping that will raise the franchise tag number of the running back, which goes against everything. But I wonder if that's something that they could fight, and maybe that's going to be a it's going to be illegal in the CBA.
But so like, who's going to take the hit on that? Are quarterbacks going to make less money then?
No, we're just going to accept that running backs are, like, you need to stop playing running back if you're in high school and college.
So you're saying if you raise the franchise tag number, nobody would franchise tag running back. They'd be like, all right, see ya. Sorry.
Yeah, but I think they're willing to take
on. If the franchise tag number on Tony Pollard was $13 million, they would have let him go to free agency. Let's not forget how fast Tony Pollard signed that thing. You know, that's another thing that people talk about, like how, these guys are going to hold out. Like, Tony signed that thing right away.
Get it so, now.
I don't know, man. You can't raise it too high. It might be great for him, too. He might have just this monster year where maybe it's not he gets a big deal from the Cowboys, but, hey, maybe some other team comes in there and is just like, man, we still think this guy's got a lot left, and we'll give him a 3-year deal, you know?
And, you know, I feel like – and there's not necessarily a science to it, but I feel like him just being a fourth-round pick versus, you know, Barkley being what he was and Jacobs being what he was, like, there has to be a certain element of Tony Pollard just being like, you know, the mindset from before of I'm just kind of grateful I'm making $10 million this year. Like Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs probably don't feel that way. They probably feel like, look at what Zeke did, look at what Todd Gurley did, or whatever, go on and on. Whereas I don't think Tony Pollard necessarily views it that way.
Yeah, and if he doesn't sign that, they could have, you know, drafted another running back. They would just had to draft one earlier or whatever, which, I mean, that could be what ends up happening. I mean, if I was to say, okay, Tony Pollard back next year, do you even think it's a 50% chance?
No.
It sucks because he can have a monster year, but because of what the position is, I just see a lot of teams going, no, we'll just draft another guy. We'll pair that guy with, you know, because here's the other thing. Who's going to be their number two this year? Because let's say it's Malik Davis. Let's say it's Deuce Vaughn. What if they play really well? We're talking about a guy that was taken at the end of the sixth round and a guy that was undrafted.
Yeah.
And if they play really well, for sure. But I'm saying, like, you know, the Pachecos of the world, when they get in there and they play well and you're just like, well, you didn't have to invest a lot in that spot, you know?
I mean, it's just simple economics to a point. If the production doesn't even have to be better, although it will be with Tony Pollard, clearly. But the production doesn't even have to be better. It just has to be close to offset the minimum wage. You're kind of seeing this with wide receiver a little bit too. Different. The top tier guys are going to get paid. But when it comes to drafting, like, the Chiefs could have probably found a way to make room for Tyreek Hill. But they said, well, we got Kelce making this much, Mahomes making this much. We'll make it work.
But at least Tyreek's going to get it from another team. A lot of these running backs, like, Saquon Barkley is upset with the Giants, so let's say he gets out to free agency. I don't know if there's going to be a ton of teams that are beating down the door to give him $15, $20 million a year, where, like, at wide receiver, Kenny Galladay got, like, $18 million, you know? The top receivers are getting, like, $30 million, you know?
Is Zeke to blame for all this?
No. There's no way it would just be one guy. It's Zeke. It's Leonard Fournette. It's who's the other running back?
Gurley.
Oh, Todd Gurley. Yep.
Gurley, for sure.
Those are
and
ones.
I think,
I mean,
Mike alluded to this, and this is a perfect transition to this cut. Is they don't really view Tony as a bell cow back, so maybe that factors into it. So here's what he said about that.
No, I don't. I don't look at them trying to, you know, fill Zeke's role. I mean Zeke's special football player. I mean, he's a primary ball distribution, you know, focal point for us and you know, long before I got here and definitely the last 3 years. So, you know, how those opportunities are distributed, we'll answer that as we get into the games. So, yeah, this is not a, you know, this guy gets Zeke's touches. That's not the format. It's really how are we going to utilize the whole perimeter group.
Now, I will also say, I feel like he says that because of the fact that they didn't draft a running back in the second or third round. Because if they did, I could see them viewing that guy like, hey, no, this guy's taking Zeke's spot. Tony's going to play his similar role. But when you don't address it, you don't add anybody really in free agency, and your roster is what it is, then yeah, then you don't. So you have to kind of work with what you have. But if they would have spent on, let's say in the draft, let's say a second or third round pick, I think that it would be potentially like Zach Charbonnet. You think Zach Charbonnet is coming in to get, they take him in the second or third round. You think Charbonnet is coming in getting, we'll give him 5 or 6 carries, let him feel it out. No, they're throwing him to the wolves.
He's getting used. Yep. Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, his answer too also is like, we really don't know what the hell our second running back's going to be right now.
No, they don't.
And it's fine. That's fine because you can figure that out. It's all good.
Selfishly, I like it for us because it'll give us something interesting to monitor during normally meaningless preseason games, because Deuce Vaughn's going to play a lot. You know, you're going to see, you know, Malik Davis play a lot. So that's one thing that you'll be able to, now the offensive line they're running behind might be awful, but still, at least you're going to see them get reps.
Let's go to Steven right there, Kent, on a, yep. You know, talking about it being a quarterback driven league, because this is kind of on the, he'll just kind of talk about
same
the
note,
quarterback
yeah.
position as well.
Yeah. Well, I think first of all, you know, our league evolves, and you know, it, you know, Mike and I were just talking about it, you know, in the room before we came out here. And this is a quarterback-driven league now. And obviously throwing the ball is a big part of this game. You know, you get down to the 2-minute, you got to be able to throw the ball. You know, it used to be 20 years ago, it was revolved around a running back. The running back may have been more important than the quarterback. Obviously, this franchise has had some of the best running backs, you know, in the league. When you look at Tony Dorsett, you look at Emmitt Smith, you look at Zeke Elliott, we've had – you know, great running backs here and great respect for that position. You know, I will say this about Tony. We offered Tony a long-term deal. You know, the same holds true for tight end. We offered Schultz a long-term deal, and we didn't agree. The reason you don't agree is they want more and you want to pay a little bit less, and you agree to disagree, and then they go on and they play under the tag. That's obviously Tony signed his tag, and he's going to do that. And Certainly, Dalton Schultz made that decision. And, you know, that's part of the negotiation and part of the system that's in place. It's a free market out there. There are mechanisms in place that allow teams to hold a player a year, called the franchise.
All right, we can stop there. The thing that stuck out to me about that, it's just a change in philosophy, it seems. Whereas the Cowboys, you always think of this running back team. And it just seems that, you know, they got a different philosophy now where it's going to be a Dak team.
It has to be. Because you could say, okay, now, and there's also like, for once too, they went and made the trade to get Brandon Cooks in here as well. I thought showed a little bit of aggression there for the first time in a while. Because I think maybe they do fully understand that. And I don't know, maybe it's something McCarthy finally said. I mean, I think maybe the run the damn ball comment might have been a just – maybe I'm giving him too much credit now, too.
But no, the run the damn ball thing is about in situations. It has been taken totally in a wrong direction of just, like, thinking it's going to be 2014 DeMarco Murray. They're not going to do that. They don't have the personnel to do that. He means, like I said, in those – we've talked about this before. That Green Bay game, it's that Jacksonville game where they had leads. That's where he's talking about. That's what he meant. It's not, right from the start, we're trying to get out there, 35-40 rushes a game, lean on the defense. They're not going to do that.
Yeah, but get up 28-10, let's maybe run the ball a little bit. And then, but that's also how they lost the 2014 NFC Championship game, you know, in Seattle. Although there's an onside kick that played there, but that's a long time ago, so no one thinks about that. No one worried about that too much. I have a kicker problem, guys. Another, speaking of things to watch, John.
Yeah.
John, we have a kicker problem. Jerry, what do you have to say?
All options are open. I think what we've got in camp has the potential to be the answer. And so it's not something that we're waiting on every day to try to come up with something additive there. Let's see what we got. Let's see how they practice. Let's see how we get comfortable with what they're doing. So what you see is the adjustment that would have been the answer to if we'd have been sitting here at the end of last season saying, we're going to relook at this kicker situation. Well, you're looking at it. And then what comes up, we will see. Now, competition's competition. And if all of a sudden we see some true competition, which means we see a way to do it better, then we'll go that route. It's that fluid right now.
It's the same thing as last year. You know, they go in last year at this time with Garibe and Hilarahu, and ended up being Brett Maher as their kicker, and he wasn't even on the roster last year at this time. So they're hoping that one of these guys, Biscano or Aubrey, are the guy. But if they're not, then maybe that's when they go out and make a move and go after Robbie Gould or Mason Crosby or somebody else that's not really going to excite the fan base. But they're hoping one of these two guys emerge, just like they were hoping last year that Hilarahu or Garibe would emerge, and it didn't happen. And if it doesn't happen, then they'll have, it'll be three, or not even 3 days, it'll be, you know, whatever, a week or two from now, and they'll be like, oh yeah, they got three kickers, you know, trying out or something like that. So
yeah, maybe Vizcaino will go win the job, right?
Yeah,
that'll be great. That'll go do the thing.
Kicker is just very much with their team right now, where safety and defensive tackle were about 3 or 4 years ago, where it was like, not only do we value it so low, we might value it the lowest of any team in the NFL, you know?
Which, great, until, you know, you doink one in the playoffs. I don't know. You can't have
one or five.
That's an all-time Jerry quote of, the guy in camp might be the answer.
Great. Well, they haven't invested anything in the position, so why would you expect, you know?
If
they were going into the season with Matt Cassel and Will Greer as their two quarterbacks, do you think he would be talking about, like, well, we just got to see how they do before we give them this long-term deal? He'd be like, yeah, I don't know. I think our starting quarterback's in camp, but might not be.
As a guy who can't get out to camp this year, I tell you what, makes my days a lot better when I'm waiting on the John Machota kicker tweet to find out if Vizcaino went. Boy, last year when I was getting reports back that Garibe was going 2 for 8, that was tough for me.
Just sailing off to the left into the trees, hitting people. It was bad.
Yeah, you know what? Better to do it then, though, than to, you know, do it in the playoffs.
And Brett Maher signed with the Broncos, so.
Yeah.
Kicking
they
in that thin
McManus
air.
They cut McManus to get Brett Maher. Oh, man.
What? He was good all up until that one game, and they still won that game by a lot. He wasn't he was fine.
They also give up like a million draft picks for Russell Wilson, so I guess it's not that surprising. Good luck there, Sean Payton. Is this the best team that Mike McCarthy has had in his 4 years?
I think so, for sure.
Yeah.
Not just because of the personnel, but because where the personnel is. Like, this isn't Micah Parsons as a rookie and, you know, you're trying to figure things out. Like, this is Micah Parsons in his prime, Dak Prescott in his prime, CeeDee Lamb in his prime. All these, like, I mean, there are definitely holes somewhere throughout the roster. I think, you know, obviously tight end is a position to watch. But you got Tony Pollard cleared to practice. You got two solid corners. You have your defensive coordinator, who's supposed to be a head coach, still is your DC. Like, there's, to me, the stage of where all these players are. Michael Gallup now a full year removed from his ACL injury. Brandon Cook, Stephon, like, just, I think the state of everything makes this the best, definitely, that he's had in Dallas.
Oh, yeah, it's the best team for, like, I didn't cover those Wade Phillips teams, you know, 09 of that, so you can maybe argue one of them, but since Jason Garrett took over head coach and I started covering team 11, yeah, this is the best team on paper going into a season. And it's because of all those things that Saad mentioned. You have to factor in the Dan Quinn thing. I'm sorry, but Dan Quinn's a better defensive coordinator than Rod Marinelli. Micah Parsons, where he's at in his career, is still ascending. And the defense as a whole is better than any defense since, really, you know, like I said, you can go back to those Wade Phillips ones and, you know, 09 and before that. But since then, since, you know, when Garrett took over as head coach, they just didn't have that emphasis on defense. And so, while, yes, some of those teams maybe were better with, like, DeMarco Murray at running back, and maybe they were better on the offense. Well, they were better on the offensive line. There were just so many other areas where you're just like, this is a corner, defensive line. I mean, it's just, no, this is the best team. this one has the chance. And then the other part of it too is that they should be battle tested. That back-to-back years, 12 wins, back-to-back years in the playoffs. There's, you know what you're, what's ahead of you. And then the other part of it is just look at how wide open it is. It's way more wide open right now. There is no Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers in their prime. So it's all there for the taking.
Hey, Kent, can you play the clip from Jerry about Mike McCarthy and play calling?
Yep. Damn, here it is.
We're just at a point as we have evolved, and I think we have evolved over the last two or three years, that it was not so much about what Kellen wasn't. It was about what Mike is. And so I think that we gain on it. I think we give ourselves a better chance if Mike has that kind of emphasis. I'm going to let him explain to you what that kind of emphasis is, not me, since he's sitting right here.
What I really liked about that whole exchange when it happened about the play calling is it furthers what we've all kind of talked about throughout the offseason, that the onus is all on Mike McCarthy. Like, Jerry's putting it on McCarthy. McCarthy's taking it on himself. We all know Brian Schottenheimer, with all due respect, is not, you know, this is, the entire offense rides on McCarthy. I did, you know, related to that, I'll take it back to OTAs when McCarthy, it's interesting, everybody's putting on McCarthy, but McCarthy kind of looped Dak into it, where he's like, hey, this is kind of on Dak. Like, you know, I'm trying to make this as quarterback friendly, and we believe we have a Hall of Fame type quarterback. And so it's, but this is all going to boil down to McCarthy and Dak. And it was kind of soothing to see Jerry kind of point it back in that direction and not make any kind of, you know, cloudy thing about that.
Well, and you just look at the team. If you look at the team and the entire coaching staff, who else in their current position has won a Super Bowl? It's Mike McCarthy calling plays.
That's the guy.
And Jerry Jones is general manager. Won 3 Super Bowls. I don't know if you guys remember that, do you?
What was your reaction, John, to Dak saying he won't throw 10 picks this year?
That he didn't say that. That's my reaction to that. That's
He did not? The media, was that a fake quote?
Yeah. It was misquoted. And here's my biggest takeaway about that. I love the, without mentioning any names of any other companies, I love the how fast you can run with that, because it's the off season and it'll give us something to talk about on our shows. And then people that work at those companies reach out and go, hey, that's not the right whatever. And they're like, well, we got a segment out of it. All right, see you later. What's next? Like, there's no like repercussions or anything. It's like, well,
it's getting a lot of likes on Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah. He was misquoted.
Trying hard, right?
I don't know if it was trying hard, but just, it is what it is. And that's the tough thing about, you know, the NFL, but specifically the Cowboys. Like, I'm telling you, man, like, maybe I'm just...
What did he say?
Oh, I don't know exactly what it was. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it didn't even say, it was something about, I think instead of 10, I think the word was tipped interceptions. You know, we're not going to have those tipped interceptions. You know what I'm saying? So...
Got it.
Because, that was probably counted for three or four of his his interceptions last year were ones that got tipped.
The quote was, they know where the hell to be, why to be, and when they're getting looked at. That's going to be a big jump, I think. We won't have those tipped interceptions this year.
Yeah.
We won't have a throw to Noah Brown kind of pop out of his hands and into the hands of a Jaguars player. Well, that game on NFL Network recently. Not good.
Yeah. Yeah, you say that, but
28-10.
But also you need... You know, I mean, Michael Gallup's saying all the right things, and so you take him at his word, but, I mean, he has to play big, man. He has to show up this year. You know, you need all three of those wide receivers to play well and be healthy. So that'll be a key one to monitor, because you sit there and you bring up Noah Brown, and as I sit here right now, if you told me that I could have Noah Brown on this roster as my number 4 receiver, I probably feel more confident in him. There's just a lot of unknowns after those first 3. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I mean, Simi Fuoco, people say he's been ramping up, is heading in the right direction. Tolbert, same thing, but I haven't actually seen it. So,
sure. You know. It's always good when Jerry can make you laugh. We've had the glory hole comment. We've had the shocking word he said last year in reference to Larry Lacewell. We had the time that he told us that Nick Foles was not an option without a media member actually even asking him. But here's his funny joke from today.
driving in and getting my room out here. I think this is about 10, 11 years in that room. It looks less than my college dorm at the time, but it feels good to be in there. Now I go out the back door and sleep up here at the Biltmore, but other than that, we're in good shape.
That's a fine.
Out the back door.
Y'all are great.
Oh.
Pretty good. I was like, no one in the world, we're all imagining it, even in a little room. Can't even move.
So great, because yeah, you know, like, what? It's so humbling being in this room. I don't stay in the room, but it's so,
it's so great.
You guys know what the room is. You've seen
it. It's just a normal hotel room. Yeah.
No, it's the room that he was salting that McGriddle in.
Oh, yeah, it was that room. His little office.
Yeah.
There's so many great things. Jerry, at the end, acts like he's a stand-up comic that's doing a whole set with this quote.
Y'all are great.
All right. Thank y'all. Clarence, I'll be your weekend.
I'm out.
Laugh, kind of like, you know, egged him on a little bit. You can hear at the end there, Clarence really found that quite humorous.
And so. Steven found one part of this quite humorous as well.
Out the back door.
Yeah, that's where he went.
The end of that was Clarence.
Yeah, obviously, we look forward to having more camp coverage from John and Sod, so make sure you're tracking them.
Two more things real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Also, so it looks like Tony Pollard and Terrence Steele, good to go. You know, there was some thoughts maybe they might have to start on pop, but unfortunately, Jordan Lewis, who was a guy that Steven had told us back during OTAs and minicamp, will probably start on pop, so he is with his, as he continues to come back from that foot issue he had, and then Luke Schoonmaker, this isn't good, starting on the NFI list, so he's not going to be active right away. He's still dealing with that foot thing, and it just kind of reminds you a little bit of the Jalen Tolbert thing, where it's like you need this guy to show up because you need the help at tight end, and then he's, you know, dealing with an injury to start camp. That's not great. So that's just a couple things I wanted to pass along there from just some roster issues there, because obviously Luke Schoonmaker is in a position where he'd get a lot of playing time this year if he's healthy.
Yeah, can we do, we have to hear your Barbie review.
I didn't watch that Zach Martin.
We talk about Zach Martin.
I don't have major concerns because I really think they need to develop some of these interior guys, and it's not like he's going to play in any of the preseason games. Where I'd have concerns is if he could potentially miss in the regular season. But he's a guy that takes care of his body. He's a guy that's going to be ready. You would like him, obviously, to be around the team. He's a leader. He's, you know, one of the greatest offensive linemen that have ever played for the franchise. Probably be in the Ring of Honor. Probably be in the Hall of Fame. You'd like that guy around. But if he's not, I don't think it's the end of the world because I don't see him missing games. And ultimately, that's when it matters the most. But I understand people's concerns. There's a new offensive line coach. You would like him to be there. But I also found it interesting how Jerry Jones, I mean, whether you're talking about the stuff on the podium or in the walk-off, like, he just didn't seem like he was too interested in giving in on that with their 2 years being left on that deal. And I think it's because Zach Martin has the potential to, like I said, Hall of Fame, Ring of Honor, but if you redo that, then it's like how many other guys have a big year with a couple years left in their contract? And they're like, well, yeah, I want that. The thing you guys did for Zach Martin, I want that now. You know, so
it is kind of an excuse for one.
Yeah, it's kind of a tough situation. I kind of thought he would show up out here, but just not practice. And maybe that still will happen. We will see. But they do need to develop, like, whether it be, you know, because, like, here's the thing. With, I'd say, their first practice, first team offensive line, I think it's going to be Tyron Smith at left tackle, Tyler Smith at left guard, Frederick, and then Terrence Steele at right tackle. So right guard, you're talking Chuma Doga is going to get work there, Matt Farniak, Josh Ball. They need at least one of those guys to get to a level where you're like, oh, I feel confident putting that guy in at right or left guard at some point during the season, because they're likely going to need them at some point. So I don't know. That's the one thing since McCarthy's been head coach, there just has not been that continuity on the offensive line. And we're heading into this new season. McCarthy's fourth as a head coach, and I just you got to be a real wishful thinker to think that, oh, no, 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 they're going to get their five and they're going to roll with it this year. Like, all right, they're just, there's going to be something that happens. You know,
after the draft, it bothers me that they didn't add a body in the draft.
Yeah.
You know, especially it's going to bother me way more if you don't get anything out of Schoonmaker, you know, which projecting, but if for whatever reason, he wasn't terribly available and foot injuries do concern me heavily in this game and basketball too, of course. But like, yeah, that's highly frustrating. You really didn't go. You're not going to go see Barbie?
No.
What if I told you?
A+, John. I promise.
What if I told you it's the best movie of the year so far, even though I haven't seen Oppenheimer?
Yeah, there's no way that. Here's my thing, like about movies, and you can disagree if you want, but I'm very like. There's just certain things that I like that
John,
I know
like
are my type of thing.
Real
like
story.
I give you, this is the example I use for everybody because it's the best way I can describe it. I love Black Mass. It's one of my favorite movies. And I know a lot of people have seen it and just like, that movie sucks. It's not good at all. But for me, the characters, the action, what goes on, it's about like Whitey Bulger. Johnny Depp plays Whitey Bulger. I love that movie. I've probably seen it 15, 20 times. Like, I'm a huge fan of that. Same thing with, like, Blow with Johnny Depp. I know a lot of people have seen it, and they're just like, yeah, it's fine, whatever. But, like, there's just certain movies that I know will not hit with me. For example, La La Land. I couldn't make it 20 minutes into that thing, and I was like, yeah, I'm out. It's just not for me, you know? But whereas, like, Oppenheimer, I'll be stunned if I watch that, and I'm like, man, that's not very good. Like, It just is the type of movie that I just feel like I will like.
You know what movie I'm comparing it to, weirdly, is Deadpool. Did you like Deadpool?
I did.
That's a good comparison.
There's that type of action?
It's worth seeing just for the production design, like the sets. It's like they built a Barbie world in human size, like an entire city and stuff. It's pretty freaking
crazy. See, I like Deadpool because I thought it was really funny, but then it was also pretty graphic, like for the fight scenes and things like that too, though, you know?
This isn't what you think it is, John. It's not like a Barbie movie. It's a satire. Dude, it's a comedy. It's a hardcore comedy satire. Yeah.
I'll see it when it comes out on DVD.
No, the colors are so good. Dude, Jared Goff is great. He's gonna win best actor in this movie. I'm telling you.
That's good. Jared Goff. That's good.
He's so good. And it is a, you know what, honestly? Your refusal to see it is kind of a little bit of what this movie's about.
Okay.
Yeah, Cliff Kingsbury kills it as Ken, right?
Yeah. Well, we're all Ken when you think about it.
We all are. John, check out Crazy Heart if you like Scott Cooper, who did Black Mask.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite movies ever. Black Mask, I should say, not Black Mask.
Yeah. Have you seen Black Mask?
Crazy Heart. Crazy Heart with Jeff Bridges. I have. It's good.
Love it.
You'll like Oppenheimer, John.
Yeah, I'm pumped You'll about that. It. And then what's the one with Leonardo DiCaprio?
Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah. You haven't seen that. That's not out yet, is it?
That's getting pushed back, right?
No, that's Scorsese. It comes out in November, I think.
Oh. I just know this year. I know that Ken's got the hookup on these things. And
yeah, check out our Barbie review on Mad About Movies this week.
Can I
Oppenheimer.
Can I share with the listeners your Plex account? Just my thoughts on it?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I have a big server of movies that I give John access to.
And, wild. You know, like, I'm talking in order of, is it producers? It might be directors.
Oh, yeah, I've got
producers. Also alphabetical, all these different things that have won Academy Awards. That's great.
I have my friend has the same thing, and I use that for all my TV shows, so I have all my TV shows on that. And it has The Office with all the behind the scenes and extended versions and stuff.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's so great.
I was scrolling for like 10 minutes through how you had them all in order by directors. And I was stunned by that.
That's outstanding. Jonah, today's the 15-year anniversary of Step Brothers.
Another great one.
No.
I was 20 when Step Brothers came out. It's crazy to think about it that way. And holds up as it's on constantly on
that definitely holds up for sure. For sure, I
they actually
agree.
Tried to cast John Hamm as Derek.
I can see Scott. that Yeah.
Which makes sense. Well, that's good. That's good Cowboy stuff to end it right there. hey, it's a quiet off season. We told you it's a quiet off season. We had a 30-minute press conference. They're usually an hour and 30.
Yeah.
No, not a ton of thanking sponsors. We're getting down to business this year. You can sense it. You can sense that this is their chance. You can feel the urgency in the air by the way McCarthy talks. By the way Steven and Jerry act. As Jerry makes a joke to end it. Farsad Yusuf, congratulations on officially being a member of the Beat. To for John Machota, Father John, make sure you're checking out their work, of course, on X. Can we find your stuff on X? God, that's weird.
X videos.
What? And for our producer, Kit Garrison, I'm Kevin. And we'll see you next time on About Them Cowboys.
Out the back door.